The Hoop Collective is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talked about the NBA, and we're doing that on Wednesday? What day is it?
It doesn't matter for you,
depends on what part of the world you're in.
Yeah. You're in Tokyo.
It's Wednesday morning for me. It's
Tuesday afternoon.
It's Tuesday afternoon for Mark Spears. That's Mark Spears in Oakland with the undefeated. You're in Oakland, right?
Yes.
But you were in LA yesterday.
Yes, I was in LA sitting next to Ramona.
All right. And that's Ramona, who's still in LA. I'm here 2 weeks. I still don't have the time down. I'm sorry.
Just get through it. You're almost there, man. Clock is ticking.
All right. So there's obviously we had free agency. There's a lot of stuff happening, but I think the Lakers are fascinating what they're doing right now. Ramona, totally revamping their team again. I mean, I don't have the number. It would be cool if I had the number ready for right now, but how many Lakers teammates LeBron has had since he got there, which is now three years ago. It's got to be approaching 50. And it's in a completely different roster. They've completely turned it over. They're in the process of turning it over. The way that they're doing it is pretty remarkable. Never quite seen anything like it. They get Westbrook, and now they have to sign maybe 9 minimum players, which I think they're like 5 or 6 down. And Rob Pelinka, people are loving what he's doing, you know, signing Carmelo, signing Malik Monk, signing Kendrick Nunn. Ramona, what do you make of the way this Lakers roster is coming together?
Well, it's kind of remarkable to me because, you know, let's be real about the Alex Caruso thing. That was a tax issue. Okay. Same thing in Milwaukee with PJ Tucker. You have fan favorites. You have guys that you love.
Same thing in Boston with Evan Fournier. They just didn't want to pay the tax. Yeah.
And, you know, and the Lakers are paying a lot of tax anyway. It's not like they're not paying the tax. They're just not paying. And you had a great story on this a few months ago. You know, they're not paying $500 million this year in tax and salary. Okay. They're going to pay $200 million. So, I mean, it's still $50 million difference. It's still like a lot of money, but I think the Lakers looked at Alex Caruso and said, we're happy for you. We really appreciate everything you've done. We wish we could keep you, but you know, he was willing to go back there at 3 years and $30 million, Brian. He actually gave them that option. Even at the end, it's less than what he signed for in Chicago, but even that was more than
they
were
willing to go. I think
that's
about what he's guaranteed in Chicago. That's not a fully guaranteed deal. I think that's about what he was guaranteed.
Yeah. So, you know, that was as far as they were willing to go. The Lakers looked at Caruso and said, we can go to $7 million a year, but above that, it gets too cost prohibitive. And then you looked at it that night and said, okay, they have done a sign and trade and got a trade exception? Yes. Maybe they'll regret that later, but that's still theoretical. But what did they do with that salary cap space today? Kendrick Nunn. That's a hell of a signing. Malik Monk on a minimum? That was shocking to me. I mean, Carmelo and all that's the biggest name, of course. But to me, Malik Monk is really good signing for them. I thought they were just getting really old and they're going to have a lot of injury issues, but they got some good young players today and at very reasonable numbers. So resigned Talen Horton Tucker. It feels like a big number for him, but not really. When you thought about
I thought that was a reasonable signing. And obviously, this is one of my favorite lines, which everybody laughs at. Other people think I'm crazy. On Talen Horton Tucker, you're betting on the come. you're betting that he is going to grow into that contract.
Yep.
And that's fair. By the way, Bobby Marks did the calculation. He's never wrong. He said that once they fill out this roster with vet minimums, they're looking at a $42 million tax bill, which is the largest in Lakers history. So the Lakers have never spent this much money. By the way, they could still sign and trade Caruso.
That's true. They could,
they would get about a $9 or $10 million trade exception, but to do that, they probably would have to send the Bulls something. The Bulls do not need to do that. I mean, it would enable the Bulls to keep their mid-level exception if they wanted to. But if I was Chicago, I would say incentivize us. And the Lakers really, they're down picks. They just traded another first-round pick for Westbrook. I'm not sure it's
well. And there's
it.
A there's a really
spend the money anyway.
There's a really geeky thing that we could all get. We could spend 10 minutes getting into, but that the Westbrook deal is not done, and the Spencer Dinwiddie contract in Washington is not done because Brooklyn needs to help Washington out, and Brooklyn has no reason to do that. So there's ways that the Lakers Westbrook trade could be expanded. The Lakers are not incentivized to do that either. So the Lakers could theoretically get something from, I think it would probably be Washington. Like they're the team that wants the player. So they have to incentivize the Lakers and the Nets to do
You're right. It would take 10 minutes. It would take 10 minutes, but here's the bottom line. If you stretch the trade out, this Westbrook Lakers trade, if you stretched it out, you could squeeze a sign and trade in there for a player making up to $19 million, give or take a few hundred thousand. So what the Lakers kind of wanted was to stick Dennis Schroeder in there and pull Buddy Hield out of Sacramento. But Wizards prefer that to be Spencer Dinwiddie. So Spencer Dinwiddie will be entered in to the trade. And I might get, I don't know if he's going to make $19 million, but that's like the most he could make in that. That's how much you could stretch it. So to get that done, you need the Lakers and the Nets to cooperate with the Wizards. And so the Wizards would need to maybe toss a second round pick there, toss a second round pick there to grease the skids. And then the team that would benefit in theory would be the Nets. They would get up to a $19 million trade exception, but the Nets are going to have a $220 million payroll. Again, I'm not sure they're interested in a trade exception. So it might even behoove, like if the Lakers, you know, really want to keep something open for Dennis Schroeder, you know, to try to get something back for him. They could like try to torpedo that, but ultimately by the time this podcast comes out, it'll probably already be done. But
you know what though? We might look really smart, Brian. Like
well, the other thing really is, I'm not sure the Lakers can even take Buddy Hield at this point because we're already talking about a $40 million tax bill. If they took Buddy Hield, it would be like some ungodly, unbelievable number. And I think they're like, look, we've gone out and tried to address the shooting, but I know we're leaving, you know, Spears is just there going, when are you guys going to talk about something important?
Anyway, know, basketball, but, basketball, you know?
Right. I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But Spears, what do you think about how the Lakers, obviously the Westbrook thing was huge. What do you think about how the Lakers have tried to put the rest of this roster together?
No, I mean, actually, I'm just sitting there listening, man. That's some good stuff.
It's interesting, right? Like, what if we wake up?
I like all that inside basketball stuff.
Yeah, like we're here on a Tuesday. Okay, it's Tuesday in LA, and it is about late afternoon. What if we, by tonight, what if we look like geniuses, Brian? What if we all of a sudden the Lakers do that Buddy Hield thing and find a third team in there?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I know.
You did, Brian, you did have some prediction on the show yesterday. I'm trying to remember. On the jump, you predicted something that came true. That
the Lauri Markkanen one. Yeah, Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah.
Well, I said the Bulls were trying to get DeMar DeRozan. I mean, that wasn't a prediction. It was a stated, you know, I had information, but which they got him, which we'll talk about that trade. So that is one of the most amazing things that's happened this.
Yeah.
It really is.
But to answer your question, I mean, the elephant in the room, I don't even know if it's an elephant in the room. It's an elderly elephant in the room, is that six of these players are age 32 and older that the Lakers have added. You know, obviously not including LeBron James, you know, Carmelo, Westbrook, Dwight Howard, Ellington, Ariza, Bazemore. The previous record was 5 by the Knicks.
That's crazy.
In 2012-13. So, I mean, is this a different day where age is nothing but a number? I kind of think so with this group. I mean, because, you know, all these guys are going to have other, you know, obviously Westbrook has a huge role, but everybody else there has a role. It's not like they're the guy. You know, obviously there's three guys that are the guy and everybody else just kind of fits in. And I think the Lakers last couple of years have done a good job of like using their veterans that they have in great reserve roles. Like everybody seems to understand what they're there to do. And so I'm not so much looking at their age. I know it's certainly eye popping, interesting, good for conversation. But I mean, they're all there for a purpose. They're all there for a job. You know, it's like Ocean's 11. They're there for a job. You get the job done. You get paid. You hopefully win a championship, and then you move on, just like they do in the movie. You know.
Yeah, but they're all like the Carl Reiner character. I mean, like I thought it was hilarious. Like, you know, the Lakers trade for Westbrook, and then they sign Melo, and Perk is on TV. Oh man, this is great. I'm like, yeah, I know Perk. They're all your age. Yeah, they're all your boys. Of course you think it's great. You're looking whether you can get a minimum out of that. The thing I'll say is, first off, I don't think you know it's going to be a slow process. This is a total, I mean, Frank Vogel, his head has got to be spinning about how he's going to put this together and play him. So like, I'm going to just say right now in August, whatever happens to the Lakers, I don't care if they start 0-7. I don't care if they start 7-0. We're going to have to wait until like February before we can evaluate where the Lakers are, the way they've revamped this team. And the second thing I'm going to say is the calling card of this roster for the last 2 years, as much as it changes, they always defended. Frank Vogel installed a defensive mindset. It's probably the most important thing he's done in his coaching career. They were great defensively when they won the title. They were still really good defensively last year. Even when LeBron and AD got hurt, they still defended. And most of the guys they brought in are not defensive players. I guess Ariza, in certain circumstances, is a defensive player, but he's a situational player at this point. So Frank went from, I mean, Howard, okay, a little bit, but so Frank Vogel went from having a really good defensive team to he's going to have to patch it together. And he could. I mean, this team does have a lot of variety on it, but like Russell Westbrook doesn't defend. Kendrick Nunn doesn't defend. Ellington doesn't defend. Malik Monk doesn't defend, is a little undersized. So like, that's why keeping Horton Tucker was so important. Yeah. They're going to need Horton Tucker and Ariza. And I would really love it if they could. I mean, Melo, good God, defensively at least. They're going to need Vogel to really roll up his sleeves, Ramona, and do his Vogel defensive stuff to get these guys together. It's going to take
2-3 zone.
Listen, you're making a joke.
You're making a joke. International ball, right?
Hey, man. Yeah. I watched Marc Gasol play it yesterday for Spain.
Yeah,
that's pretty funny. It's not that far off. Look, I mean, that is what they hung their hat on. And I'm going to just, every time we bring this up, I'm going to just remind myself. I'm just going to say, Ramona, LeBron and AD are two elite defensive players. LeBron, when he buys in, can be an elite defensive player. What they need really are perimeter defenders. And they theoretically have a couple of guys who could be that. Trevor Ariza could be that. Talen Horton-Tucker can be that. I was looking up stats on Monk and Nunn. They're not all that impressive defensively, but right. Okay. I mean,
that was very artfully said.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they're not known for that. Okay. But they could be. Like, defense is really about effort and energy. Okay. So we're going to give that speech. But LeBron and AD are really good. Dwight Howard is a former defensive player of the year. Like, these are really good defenders. So it really is, when we say defense, we just need to say perimeter defense, because that's really what we're talking about.
And I really do think that, considering the constraints that they basically had, you know, 9 minimum contracts, granted, bringing to LA.
Yeah.
I think Plink has done a pretty good job of trying to pull in guys who could fit roles. I just don't know how long it's going to take them to come together. And by the way, Lakers fans, Kendrick Nunn is going to have games where, you know, he's going to have a game or two where he scores 35 points. The guy is, he goes off sometimes. Malik Monk's the same way. You know, I can just see, like, remember Danny Green's first game as a Laker? He like made 6 threes or something.
Yeah.
I can see like November, like 4th, Malik Monk goes for like 29 in a win over you know, Sacramento, and people are like, oh my God, because he's going to have moments like that. And they have redundancy. So
I have this vision.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I have this vision though. They have like kind of the old guy lineup, and then they have the young kid lineup, where you could theoretically have Westbrook really run with those, with the kids. And that could be a really fun second unit. You could kind of stagger LeBron and Westbrook's minutes a bit, and have Westbrook and AD lineups, and Westbrook and have LeBron and AD lineups. Because they do have some young guys out there that could be a really nice second unit for them.
I do wonder about the rotation, like how that's going to be. And, can there be some politics involved because of some of the older guys? And, you know, can there be some frustration because, you know, that there's a lot of twos there. You know, there's a lot of guards there. There's a lot of small forwards there. Like, if Melo gets a DMP or plays 10 minutes, like, how's he going to take that, you know? Like, good luck to the coach to figuring out the playing rotation. But they're just – usually with a roster, you could tell a pecking order. This is your starting five. This is your bench. I mean, I guess to their credit and perhaps to their detriment as well, like, everybody can contribute, but you can't play everybody either. So that's probably a good problem, I guess. But they just got a lot of guys that – to me, are obviously outside the three stars that are kind of on the same level. And a lot of guys, like you said, redundant, kind of at the same position.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're leaning real hard on Frank Vogel.
Yeah.
They really are.
Well, they got him a good staff. He's got a good staff. I got a lot of guys. It, you know, does it remind you a little of that Cavs team that LeBron had his last year when they had, you know, they had Derrick Rose and Isaiah and Dwayne. And I mean, they just got all the, it feels like the Expendables or something, right? Like,
I remember looking around that locker room and being like, Derrick Rose, Dwayne Wade are in here.
You know,
Jay Crowder, Kevin
Crowder
Love,
was on that team. Yeah.
Jeff Green,
Korver.
You know, and then they cut, or they may have traded Derek, but Derek was gone. Derek was a disaster. He was gone. He like took time away and went and got married. I mean, that was, I still don't even know what happened there. Dwayne and LeBron were like, yeah, this doesn't work anymore. And Dwayne said, can you send me back to Miami? And they just sent him to Miami for free. Go ahead. And then they traded. Then LeBron couldn't stand Isaiah. In one of the more classic moments of LeBron's career, it was the day before the trade deadline, and LeBron had been sort of pouting for a few weeks, and he hated playing with Isaiah. And they told him before the game, we're trading Isaiah tomorrow. Like, LeBron knew. The other players didn't know. And LeBron goes out there and plays like a beast, and he hits a game-winning three at the buzzer, his best game in weeks. And Isaiah runs to go celebrate with him, and LeBron just basically shoves him aside. Just get out of here, kid. And it was like just an amazing passive-aggressive LeBron moment. And that roster – like they traded like seven guys at the deadline and brought in like Larry Nance and Jordan Clarkson and, you know, all these guys. And it was a mess, but they were still in the finals. They were still in the finals. So like I said, like LeBron, you know, like there's four or five people in his life that are really important to him, and everybody else is interchangeable. And when you're his teammate, he will absolutely have your back, absolutely invite you to the parties. We will hang out. We will have fun. And when you are no longer useful to him as your teammate, thank you for your service. Send flowers. And that's the way LeBron has operated with the Lakers.
Alex Caruso got paid. He got paid. No, right?
It's fine. And LeBron doesn't care. I mean, like, thank you, Alex.
Yeah.
Have a nice day. Thank you, Timo Mozgov. Have a nice day. Thank you, Matthew Dellavedova, for your service. See you later. You know, there is a small group that he likes, but even with Dwayne Wade, it was like, Dwayne, you're not helping me. Next flight to Miami
Who's on that group, man? I'm curious. Who's the four guys?
Well, it's his, you know, the four horsemen.
Okay. I thought there might be somebody else I'm missing.
I mean, you know, LeBron has his close friends he's had, but like, tell me a teammate that LeBron has had in his career, a teammate who he's truly, genuinely friends with.
Jared Dudley. I think he's friends with Dudley. James Jones. I think he's James Jones. He was friends, right?
Friends. Mello now.
Mello?
Mello hasn't been his teammate before.
True.
I mean, Team USA, I guess.
Damon Jones. Got one. Damon Jones. Legitimately right. friends Damon with Jones.
Damon Jones.
Damon Jones. Trying to think of someone. Was Ty Lue ever his teammate?
No.
Not quite. Yeah, he's friends.
But again, like if it was like, if it came down to it, he would send flowers on Damon Jones.
It's okay. It's business. He's trying to catch Mike. That's okay.
What I'm saying. Like, yeah. Like LeBron operates like the Godfather. He really does. Seriously. He's like, oh, we can get Anthony Davis. Well, all you dudes are gone. We can get Russell Westbrook. All you dudes are gone. Like, you know, when he came to when he came to Cleveland, I'm so excited to be in Cleveland. He listed all the guys he's excited to play with, and Andrew Wiggins wasn't on the list. Why? Because Andrew Wiggins, he had decided, was already gone. Like, that's the thing about Riley.
Yeah.
Pat Riley was so burned when LeBron basically rejected the concept of him being like a Heat lifer. And I wrote this at the time and it really upset Pat, but LeBron just did what Pat showed him how to do. Because when the time comes, Pat Riley will send flowers too. Shaq, see ya.
Yeah, it's true.
Dwayne, true. See ya. Hardaway and, see ya, Lonzo Mourning. See ya. When the time came for those guys to get paid more than Pat thought they should get paid, it was see ya. Now, sometimes they helped them. They helped guys on sign-in trades or whatever. And a lot of times they welcomed him back, you know? And, you know, Lonzo is like one of the all-time Heat guys, but there was a time where it was like, yeah, we're not paying you that. You're out of here.
A random question. And,
yeah.
Is Udonis Haslem coming back to the Heat?
I mean, they have seven. They did sign Markieff Morris today.
Yeah.
So I think they have to sign six more veteran minimums. And, you know, the thing is, they have
best
to.
Job in the world.
He only played in one game last year and he got ejected in it in like 2 minutes.
Best job ever.
And the other thing is, like, he took like so many discounts to re-sign with the Heat towards the end of his career. Like, he took a discount in 2010. He took so many discounts. He left, you know, he knows how many millions he's left on the table. But for like the last 3 years, he's gotten like $2.5 million a year to be like to be an assistant coach. So they're like
his whole family got insurance for the rest of their lives.
Well, of course. I mean, like, you know, I'm not going to lay up nights worrying about his bank account.
No.
But, you know, like if he gets another deal this year, he'll have gotten like four straight. It's like be like $10 million, like where he's barely not even really been an NBA player. So, yeah, we'll see. It could happen.
Your job is to stay in shape and keep everybody in line. That's a great job.
And like, you know how that they say in prison, you got to go beat some people up to remind everybody who's boss. It took like a year, but he finally got in the game and he had to remind everybody that he's still tough. And
that was Dwight, right? That he got into it with.
Was it Dwight? I can't remember.
So against Philly.
But he got ejected within like 2 minutes.
But he also had like, three baskets or something crazy, man. Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, like 6 points in a minute and a half or something.
I don't know.
Two rebounds.
It's like in college football when they play all the seniors, you know, for the last.
I'm not saying a bad word about UD because he's
seriously.
And he's like also a very he's also a very respectable man. All right. So You know, Ramona, if these guys don't work out, LeBron will just.
Yeah, I mean, just remember, these are all And you know, when they had Dwight here the first, actually, I guess it's the second time. Like, this is the third time.
The third time, yeah.
Yeah, when they had him here the second time, he was on a partially guaranteed contract, a not fully guaranteed contract. And he had to agree to it because the idea was they're going to keep him on a short leash. Like, if it's not going well, if he acts out or is causing problems, like, bye, see ya. We're not going to guarantee it until Jay. It was actually Dwight's idea because he wanted to prove to them, hey, I'm willing to do this on a non-guaranteed contract even. That's how much I want to be there. That's how much I believe I've changed and I value this now. He was genuinely hurt when they didn't offer him the kind of deal that he wanted to come back last year. He really wanted to be back in LA. He really enjoyed his return there. And then,
but Ramona, explain something to me that was always odd.
Yeah.
Was that like didn't he tweet out he was coming back?
Yeah.
So what was the real deal with that?
I think it was like the way the Lakers presented it to him didn't necessarily get communicated in the right way. Maybe as a game telephone a little bit. It was, they couldn't say this is a firm offer vet minimum. I think they were like, we're hoping to be able to give you this, but right now we can only say we're doing this. And he was like, okay, cool. I'm coming back. And then it was like, no, but it wasn't actually guaranteed. It was like kind of, they were splitting something up, I think. If I'm trying to remember exactly how that went down. So I think, I don't know if he was just on the line with his agent or wasn't on the line. Like, it was sort of, he heard what he wanted to hear. You have to remember too, this was during the pandemic. We're still in it, but there was no face-to-face meeting at this point. So I think it was game of telephone. It wasn't guaranteed money. And he just kind of called and took, it was almost a spite contract that he took with Philly, right? Like, he was like, oh, fine, take it, done.
Like Larry David, he
was mad. Yeah.
At some point, there's going to be this amazing documentary on Dwight Howard's life and times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'll be there for it.
I'm just going to say that this is the seventh time in 6 years Dwight's changed teams. So let's just keep all that in mind.
Changed a lot of agents too. Is he a different agent now than he had last year? So
I mean, how many agents do we think he's had, Spears?
Oh my gosh, six.
Who was the first? Name the first one.
Was it Aaron Goodwin?
I believe so. Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket. With Vivid Seat Rewards, score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. Now let's talk about the play of the week, the pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. All right. Well, speaking of Aaron, I want to pivot.
Yeah.
Because Aaron Goodwin has been an agent for like 25 or 30 years.
Good agent.
And out of those 25 or 30 years, I'm not so sure he's pulled as many rabbits out of the hat.
Seriously.
Is he pulled with DeMar DeRozan?
Seriously.
To get him to Chicago on an $85 million deal. Oh, my God. $85 million. And, you know, so the thing here was the Spurs had interest in Lauri Markkanen. They've had interest in Lauri Markkanen for a long time. He fits the profile of the type of player that they like. International player, shooter, you know, still in development, that they can develop him. But from what I understand, Markkanen just wanted so much money that the Spurs were like, we can't pay that. And they had signed Doug McDermott and they had signed Zach Collins. And I know Zach Collins is going to be out, but those are two guys that can kind of play the four, that are shooters. And so they weren't as desperate for Markkanen. And so it like wasn't going to happen. And so they kept working and kept working and they put together this deal and, you know, they end up getting Thaddeus Young, who will play that position for them.
Good player.
They could even trade him later. And then, you know, they had to get that deal where they needed to, they had to force Aminu in there. The Bulls had to force Aminu in there. And so to pay the Spurs for taking on Aminu, they had to send them multiple picks, including a future first. And the Bulls are already out two recent first round picks because of Nikola Vucevic. And Goodwin got it done. And Goodwin got his contract. I mean, DeMar got his contract. Congrats to everybody on that. But Spears, I want to ask you about the Bulls here. So the Bulls pick up Lonzo Ball, which can you explain to me before you talk about the Bulls, why didn't the Pelicans just keep Lonzo Ball?
I'm still not understanding it. I don't want to hear that Zion's the point guard. He's not. He's capable of bringing the ball up, but who did they replace him with? Don't say Graham, because he's not going to start. Like, okay, it's just confusing. Like, at least, I don't know, man. You know Griff longer than me. Like, explain that one.
All right, look.
You can't lose him for nothing like that.
I know Griff a really long time. And I like Griff a lot. He's a good man.
I do too.
He's a man who's been through a lot in his life. You know, a couple of bouts of cancer, and him putting together that title
good
team. I mean, he'd be the first to tell you that that LeBron delivered that. He would have been nowhere without LeBron. He's very open about that. But he did a great job putting together that team under the circumstances. I know that in the past Griff has been wary of, you know, sort of undersized guards. He knows that you need big guards in the league. And Devontae Graham is, I mean, he's not, by NBA standards, he's a short guard. And so I'm just so surprised they would let Lonzo, a guy who Zion really liked, go for Devon. I know Devontae Graham was cheaper, but you're trying to keep Zion. And so you've turned Lonzo into Tomas Satoransky and Devontae Graham. And I'm just like, are you? And, you know, I still got to say this, like, they had their reasons why they didn't want to pay Drew Holiday. But this Team USA is my first time I've been around Drew Holiday. I mean, I already knew this. It wasn't like I didn't know. But it's the first time I've been able to talk to Drew Holiday, like, on a daily basis for weeks on end.
Stupendous.
How can you look at this situation and say, this is not a guy that we want around our young phenom? I don't understand that move to this day.
Yes. Yeah. No, he's, on and off the court is one of the most treasured people. The Bucks don't win a title without him. Just my dealings with him. I remember talking to him. He did it. The Thanksgiving giveaway that people do that, but what he did was special. Like, the city of New Orleans loved him. Absolutely loved him. And then he does all the dirty work defensively. Great leader, keeps the team together.
But no ego.
No ego. And then the guy that they got for him, he's not even there anymore. You had a great player and you let him go.
What did they have at the deadline for him? You know, because there were some offers at the deadline to trade for Lonzo, and I think we have to weigh that against what he actually became, you know, right, in terms of what they replaced him with now.
I don't know, Ramona. Here's what I know. I know that I live in a world where people torpedo the Cavs from 2010 and say that they botched the build around LeBron and he absolutely deserved to leave. You know what? They didn't win. And so I guess that's true. And he left and he did win. But I look at what the Cavs put around LeBron, and they made it to the finals and then they had two 60 win teams. I agree that they didn't get Dwayne Wade or Chris Bosh, so advantage Miami, but they did put some good players around him. They just didn't have the best team. I'm looking at what's happened. Like, if you're Zion and you're watching this,
it's already kind of put you on notice already.
Yeah. I mean, are you, if you're Zion, are you excited about the Pelicans right now? And yeah. And I know what Griff did. He was betting that Giannis was going to leave the Bucks. So he gets their draft for the next 5 years. And guess what? Giannis didn't leave. And now, you know, look, everybody's got to stay healthy, but now those picks don't look so valuable. And I don't know. So they let Drew go. They let the second piece in the Anthony Davis deal, you know, after Ingram, the value was, or I guess the high pick was the second piece, but you know, a big piece of that Anthony Davis deal was Lonzo. They let him go for a backup.
Shoot, their best point guard might be their new head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and it's just,
so
I, you know, and this is where I feel bad for New Orleans too. You know, I'm biased.
You're wearing an LSU pullover right now.
I feel so bad for that city, man. Like, in the same way I feel bad for Vancouver. Like, they've never really had a chance to have a great team there to show how greatly they could support that team and how amazing a place it could be for a winner. And that you always hear people talking about when they talk about teams moving, you always hear New Orleans on that list. I'm just like, just give them a chance to have a great team. And like, it's just – their feelings get hurt so much there. They, it's hard for them to buy in. It's almost kind of like the Warriors fans until Steph arrived. You know what I mean? Just, okay, yeah, what are they going to do now? Who are they going to trade now?
Here's the difference. The Warriors never had Chris Paul, Anthony Davis, and now Zion. The Warriors never had. You know,
when you put it like that, Brian, man.
I mean, that's, you know, they had rough. Gilbert Arenas and Monte Ellis, second round picks. That's what they had, right?
Baron Davis. And Baron Davis would like a word.
Baron, that's true. And they milked him for everything they could. I just don't know what the Pelicans are doing. I guess their offseason is not over, so I'll wait. But I'm gonna
try to come up with theories. This is just me wildly speculating, okay? I guess the guys that they have signed or brought in are theoretically more tradable or more flexible in their salary cap orientation than what they would have had to pay Lonzo. Is that a stretch to say that? Maybe they have more flexibility now.
I guess, but you got to win ultimately. And Zion was on the record saying he wanted him back. And I'm not saying
they lined
that
up to try to get Lowry and didn't get him. That's what happened. They lined up to try to get Kyle.
And let me ask you guys this. Yeah. What's going on with Dragic?
Yeah, if I'm Toronto, as much as I don't think that's done, by the way. I think that, you know, we haven't called that sign and trade all the way done. Okay, there's still some details being worked out.
Yeah, well, they're looking,
you know, all this stuff is still getting worked out.
Somebody I trust told me that just keep an eye on New Orleans with him. Not saying, you know, as a long shot, but as a shot.
Well, it makes sense, Mark, because they need to do. Yeah, if you're Toronto and you have Dragic coming there, you can keep Dragic. I think he's a good player and he is a useful contract as you go forward with this team. But this idea that they're just going to buy him out and let him go wherever he wants, I don't see that.
No,
they're going to trade him someplace. So,
no,
I mean, obviously Dallas is his first choice, but
yeah,
somebody just told me keep New Orleans on that list for him.
Well, okay, so Dallas wants to pair him with Luka, but Dallas doesn't want to pay him that price. So if he became free, that's what Dallas would want. But Dragic's connection to David Griffin is they were together in Phoenix.
Yeah.
So
that to me if they could figure that out, perhaps, you know, we need to send David a bottle of wine. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, they could join the sign and trade. The sign and trade, as your point, hasn't happened yet. So they could join the sign and trade and end up routing him to New Orleans, and Miami could get involved with that and maybe get another player for sure. But let me just ask you, if you're Zion Williamson, do you want to play with Lonzo Ball? Do you want to play with Goran Dragic, who's in his mid-30s?
Dragic. Maybe they need somebody older.
Well, that's what they want.
Yeah.
And Chris Paul, who they offered $100 million, from what I understand. It helped Phoenix convince to give him at least partially guaranteed fourth year.
Yeah, he loves Willie.
Willie Green made his play on that. And, I think Chris entertained it for some period of time. But to get back to where we started in DeRozan and the Bulls have made a major move here. Lonzo Ball, I don't understand why they just let him go for that, but they did. Alex Caruso and DeMar DeRozan. Lauri Markkanen is still there and could still sign with them. And wow. And considering there's no space out there, either they could sign him to a long-term deal or he could just take the qualifying offer if he's really interested. So I would say there's a decent chance Lauri Markkanen is going to be back. So should we give
Arturas and Mark their kudos, man, their flowers on this?
Well, let me ask you about that. So they've certainly made big moves. So their starting lineup, I'm just going to, just for the sake of this, say that Lauri Markkanen is going to be back. I think there's a good chance of that happening, even if it's just on a one-year deal. So their starting lineup, Zach LaVine, Lonzo Ball, DeMar DeRozan, Markkanen, Vucevic, Caruso, Kobe White coming off the bench.
Why didn't New Orleans want to get Kobe White? Anyways,
well, he's out with a shoulder injury right now, but he's not going to be out for the year or anything. He should be back by Christmas.
I like him.
He's a gunner, but I do like him too. I have to go check and see who's still on their roster because they've sent a lot of guys away. They sent, Thaddeus Young, who's away. They sent Stradaransky away. Denzel Valentine's a free agent. I don't know. I mean, I guess they could try to bring him back. Actually, Denzel Valentine would be good for the Lakers. The Lakers should sign and trade Caruso for Denzel Valentine. That's my little comment.
Yeah, I like that.
What do you think about that roster, Ramona? What do you think about that start? I mean, it sounds good.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to stop anybody.
I kind of like Lonzo and Zach LaVine together. I think that's a nice compliment. Do you know what I mean? Like, Lonzo is not your traditional point guard. Like, he's not going to get into the lane and create that much, but he's a really smart player, but that's okay. He's a really good defensive player too. He's really good at throwing lobs. Like, I feel like that skill set pairs really well with LaVine, right? I mean, I'm just picturing this. He got to be a much better shooter. So did Zach. The DeRozan, I don't know. Like, I kind of like that for them too. I don't know how much of a huge, like, Thad Young was good for them too.
85 team, million. They have Patrick Williams too. Don't forget. I mean, he's a guy who will, I assume, come off the bench. But that's a nice
mentor for Patrick. That's a nice veteran mentor.
Maybe Patrick Williams starts at four and Markkanen comes off the bench, or maybe Markkanen goes somewhere else.
Bulls had, I don't know what I even think of the Bulls because we didn't get to see what they really were after they traded for Vucevic because Zach LaVine got COVID and was out for the however many games, 20 games or something. So I don't even really know what they are. I was excited about them when they got Vuce, but what are they now? They're more exciting. I think Lonzo's going to be really fun. I don't know. I've always really liked Lonzo as a player. I just think he's a smart basketball player. And if you're counting on him to put up 20 and 10, that's the wrong thing for him. But if you're counting on him to be a really smart basketball player, plays good defense, makes good basketball plays out there, that's more his speed. And he will do that there. It's good to play off of Zach there.
How many wins for that roster, do you think? I mean, they're not complete. They got to do some more things. So how many wins for that team?
Oof. They're so hard to predict because of injuries. assuming everybody's healthy, 50.
I'm just trying to get a gauge. Is that a top four seed or is that
no?
You know, they haven't made the you know.
That feels like to me like a 45 to 48 yeah. win team. Yeah, six or seven yeah. seed, maybe.
So they've missed the playoffs 4 years in a row. That's why I'm asking. So they're probably a playoff team. But like they are now in. So Zach LaVine is probably not going to get an extension now. Okay. So they've spent $85 million on Lonzo, $85 million on DeRozan.
DeMar.
And the, you know,
Brian, but let me say this. Yeah. And this is if LaVine doesn't get COVID, they made the playoffs.
Okay. Okay.
Right. So, but they didn't.
Well, let me just ask you this. This is what I'm getting to. They obviously made splashes and, you know, they've gone in, but this is their roster. They spent $200 million when you include Vucevic and 3 first round picks to get here. And they're probably not going to, I mean, I just can't see LaVine extending for various reasons right now because of the limitations of his contract. Is this a team that Zach LaVine for sure is going to stay on with?
I think he has to. I mean,
They're going to offer him a 5-year max, but.
Well, that helps. But at least, you know, in terms of putting better people around him, like if Dame could get all this kind of stuff done, oh, he'd be ecstatic.
Well,
you know what I mean? Right about like, that. I got to give his front office credit for doing big moves. Like Vucevic. Yeah,
they're trying. They're trying.
We didn't really get to see him because he had some injury issues too, right? But I mean, he's a perennial all-star. He's not a sexy player, but he always gets that 18, 15 game, you know? Then
they're going to win a lot of games. They're going to win a lot of games.
Is a great, great guy on and off the court. He'll be amazing for Zach. They'll be very difficult to guard together. You know, DeRozan could hit big shots. Adds to their athleticism too. You know, I like
what they did. Is it a 50-win team? Probably, maybe, you know, it's maybe. I don't know.
That's being optimistic. Yeah. But yeah. I think this is also one of those teams where, and perhaps half the league you got to do this with. I just think one of the best things that Celtics championship team did, because they had so many new guys, was they like went on this long. They went to Italy and they went to, you know, Rome. I mean, they went to Italy and London together and had this like camp where they got away from home and had to get to know each other. Next year they went.
How do you feel about Gary, Indiana? How do you?
No. I mean, well, you could do what the Cowboys did and go to LA, you know, but they just need to do something to get their camaraderie, get to know each other. Cause there's just so many new faces, so many new pieces. I mean, the Lakers guys, they're old vets, but this Bulls team, like they have a chance to do something interesting. Like, but who's their leader? Who's their guy? Who is it? DeRozan, I guess. DeRozan's the,
I mean, it's hard to be a leader when you just showed up. I mean, you know, Garrett Temple was kind of, he could be that guy, and Thaddeus Young to a certain extent. They're both gone. They were gone in the signing trades.
Like, who's that guy in the locker room for them now? That's where I do think they're. I mean, Zach has to be that guy now.
He might be, yeah. Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. And you'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, girl-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Zach has impressed me a lot with Team USA. He has looked very good. He drives Pop crazy at times on defense, but he has looked very good in my view. All right. Well, I do think we should, before we go, we should talk a little bit about Team USA, which I'm devoting my life to at this point. And this Olympic update is brought to you by CarMax. If it's time to sell your car, go for sold with an instant offer from CarMax. Find out what your car's worth is with an instant offer at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way it should be. Spears, I know you're watching these games closely, and even if it's in the middle of the night, because you're live tweeting them. I know somebody else is up watching, including.
Hey, it's like, but you know, I got a couple 9:30 games in a row, man. So that's been helpful.
Yeah, yeah. And this this game against Australia, this is the biggest game in Australian basketball history. They finished fourth in four events, and they've reached the semifinals four times and lost all four times. They've lost all four bronze medal games, four fourth place finishes. This is their veteran team. They've never medaled. They've never medaled.
Really?
They've never medaled.
I didn't know that.
So this is their best team they've had. Patty Mills, Joe Ingles.
I think that the worst thing that happened to them was they played USA already. And they beat them. And so now the USA has had a taste of what they're going to face. They know what Patty Mills is going to try to do. I could see Jrue Holiday getting excited right now with that Patty Mills assignment. But
yeah, well, he got to say with Ricky Rubio.
Rubio
put up 38.
Exactly. I can't see Australia beating them twice, man. I'm knocking on wood right now. Just the problem with the USA's problem is them. It's not anybody else but them. If they defend and they stop acting like they're in a three-point shooting competition, I think they beat everybody pretty real easy. But they just so seduced by that three-point line. I just don't get it. Maybe you can explain it to me, but I just they make it harder than it needs to be.
Well, I will say that, you know, their offense, like there are moments where they run a play, but basically their offense is move the ball until you get a three-pointer. And, you know, they got some dudes who are just spectacular. I mean, you know, the ball ends up in Dame or Durant's hands from the perimeter. You feel pretty good about it. It looks like they're all going to go in. The U.S. going forward just in general has a problem at center. They don't have bigs. The Americans, we don't have bigs. And like they had so much trouble.
Wiseman's going to be their future center. What?
Really what they should do. I'm not even kidding here. They should try to get DeAndre Ayton to become an American citizen. I'm serious.
That's not a bad. Yeah. That's not a bad call. I'm serious. Right there.
Yeah. Bahamas would be crushed.
Of course they would be. And I'm sorry to the Bahamas, but we have to do what we have to do. We took Clay. Yeah. We took Clay already.
Oh, I mean, Clay just hangs out. It just goes visits family there.
I'm just saying, if like Grant Hill, who's taken over for Jerry Colangelo, should get a lawyer and like come to LA or come to Phoenix and, you know, get the most wonderful meal for DeAndre and say, DeAndre, we have a representative from the State Department on the line. We would like to offer you American citizenship. Can you sign up? Can you be in Paris in 2024?
Hey, if they could get Akeem Olajuwon an American citizenship, right, it shouldn't be that hard.
Well, you know,
I forgot to tell you this, and I assume maybe both of you seen this or not. I was in the room when Ayton visited with the prime minister of the Bahamas.
I remember the story.
And he called him son of the soil. Like you got that, like the prime minister called you son of the soil. He wears Bahamas on his heart, man. That's actually like a really good story, like to ask him about, but he wears Bahamas on his heart.
All right, man. Listen, we got to get Obama. Now, I don't know that he's really
played for their national team, though.
That's my point. Like Karl Anthony Towns has played for the Dominican Republic. Like, you could try. This is what happened with NECA Ogumike that Ramona wrote about. Like, it was hard.
We got to get some Suns exhibition games there. You know, like some kind of treaty.
Right. I see. Spears, you're thinking I'm talking about. I mean, they got to get Obama on the phone. Obama has got to call and say, do it for your adopted homeland, DeAndre. But so the problem is they just don't have bigs. And even the big that they got, Bam, he could be playing for Nigeria. Oh, he's doing them a favor.
Struggling, man. Yeah.
Let me tell you how much Bam is struggling. Mm. Bam at times channeled Ben Simmons, afraid to shoot in the paint.
Oh.
And got rejected. And I want to say this clearly.
By Rubio, got right?
Rejected hard by Ricky Rubio. Rubio walked him down and shut him down.
Brian, you were too busy watching the game, but the heat on the Heat center was so big on social media, boy. Oh,
it was bad. Yeah, I'm not on Twitter really during the games. There was
some beautiful play. I want to say, maybe I'm wrong. Like, it was like this like block or something, and KD falls down and they get the ball and throws it. They throw it down the court to Bam, and it just like for the dunk, and it just like falls out of his hands. I'm like, where's his mind at right now?
That was that drop was bad. And it was a bad point in the game. So they're just not getting good big man play.
Put JaVale in. Why won't they play JaVale?
Well, listen, the Aussies have bigs, and the Aussies really came in and went at the American bigs last time. So
hey, Kevin Love don't sound so bad right now, huh?
Well, I don't know. Did you see what Jerry Colangelo said about this?
What did he say?
He basically said Kevin told us he was ready to play and he wasn't ready to play. I'm synthesizing it.
Yeah.
And you know, people, you know, a lot of players, I even heard from some NBA players who were like, I couldn't believe Jerry said that and offended, who were offended he would say that. And I get it. You're not supposed to say that publicly. I'm supposed to protect but he's the player.
80-year-old man on the way out. He doesn't give it a shit. Can I say
no? Nope.
You can't, but
he doesn't give a care.
But I'm going to say Jerry spoke the truth. Kevin wasn't ready to play. And Kevin, if Kevin did tell him he was ready to play and that's the way he came, then I can understand why Jerry was frustrated.
But Brian, like, I'm watching this from afar, and what I see are the U.S. playing against teams that have been together for decades and guys that have a real, you know, brotherhood from having grown up and played in the national team and their systems and all that. And a U.S. team that was really thrown together. And I think the biggest, I can cut them a lot of slack because of what has happened in the world the last 2 years. I mean, we're delayed by a year. There's just been injuries in the NBA. COVID has pushed the schedules back. It's just messed up a lot of plans. And so, but I think the takeaway that I have from these Olympics is good thing we still have Kevin Durant, right? Like that is the big,
oh my
good
God.
Thing, right? He's awesome. And when he plays like Kevin Durant, then there's nothing to worry about, but we just need to get back to the program again. Like the days where you go to, you had to put your dues in at the summer camp every year, that you had to build something.
It's been thrown off.
It's been thrown off. And some of that is just scheduling, COVID, injuries, et cetera. And some of it, I want to go back to the Mike Krzyzewski days. Like Coach K was really beloved by those star players. Like he really had great relationships with Kobe and Kyrie and all of, I mean, he was part of the draw. He was like and I think some of it is him being, how do I put it? Impartial. Cause he's a college coach, and they like Kobe would confide in Kay, like when he was making big decisions about his career. I mean, he was, because he didn't have a dog in the fight. Like Kay was just from Duke and he's a friend and a person that he respected his opinion, but he didn't, you know, it was Kay and Boeheim and those guys. I mean, it was a college staff.
LeBron had a better relationship with Coach K than any coach he's played for in the NBA.
Yeah. Cause he knew the advice he was given and was impartial. There was no influence for any team or potential opponent that he might play. And all this is, it's not a knock on Steve Kerr or Lloyd Pierce or Pop or any of the NBA guys that are involved now. There were NBA guys in those other staffs, but the main guy who developed real friendships and bonds with those players on the program when guys would show up every summer, that was Kay.
Yeah.
Hey, can I ask you something real quick too?
Yeah.
What was the Zion deal? Why didn't he get an invite?
It's not 100%. I think it was available if he wanted it. It's not 100% clear. I don't know the direct answer to your question, but Colangelo made a reference to there were players this summer whose teams didn't want them to play.
That makes sense.
And I don't 100% know if that's the case, but
I know America would be mad at me for mentioning this name, and perhaps his agent didn't want him to do it, and maybe USA Basketball didn't want him. But this could have helped Drummond.
I find that hard to believe.
This could have helped
Drummond. I would have wanted him. Yeah, for sure.
What they couldn't have got Drummond to play?
Oh, Drummond? Well, Drummond's a free agent. He's now signed with the Sixers.
But I think this. Like, this would have helped him.
Yeah, that would have helped.
Well, like, I know there are guys.
What did he get? What obscene low money did he get? Like, remember how much money he was supposed to get paid? He should have begged to be on this team. To get his money right, man.
Well, JaVale came and he signed with the Suns. So
yeah.
Evan Fournier signed with the Knicks for $80 million and then went out and took out the Italians yesterday. So
but, Italians. Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you meant took him out to dinner or something. I'm like, are you allowed to?
I mean, Drummond.
I'd love to go out with the Italians. I'm quarantined.
Drummond would be starting for this.
But
team.
But isn't that the point? Spears, is that you're, with all due respect, you're talking about Andre Drummond. We're talking about Drummond, like that's where we are with that. So, look, Ramona said
we want to. Everybody has to shoot threes now. Nobody wants to go in the paint. So that's an American problem. They've been preaching to us for years that we have to be more European like. We have to shoot threes. We have to get out of the paint. We got to work on all our skills, and it actually drives me nuts. To see somebody post up 5 feet outside the box when they have that thing called a low post, which makes scoring in the post so much easier. But they would rather, like, the American coach today teaches people to post up outside the box. So therein lies our problem. We want to be Steph Curry. We want to be Kevin Durant. Nobody wants to play inside no more. And they still value it in Europe, even though they were the ones who initially tricked us to play like them in the first place.
I see no lies in what you said, but you know what? We still do have Kevin Durant, and that's a hell of a weapon. And if Durant plays two more games like he's played his last two, he's going to get that medal.
And you guys have seen him a lot. I got to see him up close for 3 years. He's got that look, man. He's focused. He had
29 yesterday, and he could have had 39 if he really wanted it. So that's, and against Australia, who's really good defensively, and you know, they have Matisse Thybulle and he's going to be out there. They're going to need it. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to the Hoop Collective. Thank you to Ramona for staying late at the radio studio for us. Thank you to Spears.
I'm just sitting in my car.
I know you're you've gone right into traffic time. So
it's okay. It's always traffic time here. It's okay.
All right. All right. Thanks for listening
to the Hoop Collective.
Thanks for listening to the Hoop Collective. I can see traffic from my window in my hotel room in Tokyo, but you know, I'm not allowed to go anywhere.
All I do is picture you sitting in your hotel room, looking out at Tokyo, eating a jar of peanut butter.
Yeah, the peanut butter is gone, Ramona. The peanut butter ended a while ago. We're down to 7-Eleven.
Do you at least get a Slurpee out there? Do they have Slurpees?
No Slurpees. Ooh. No.
No Slurpees. Oh, no. Is it like boba or something?
That's like McDonald's with no hamburgers. Like, how do they not have Slurpees at 7-Eleven?
Poor Bri. These 7-Elevens are better than what we have, but there is no Slurpee machine. So, all right. Well, thank you. Take care, guys. Have a good day. And we'll talk to you soon.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.